Next year. Next year will be better. It has to be. It has to be better than this. Better than the hurt. Better than the anger. Better than the doubt. Better than the confusion, the loneliness, the desperation. It has to be better than this darkness I'm trapped in. And it's like they always say, new year, new you. But I'm not even looking for new. I'm just looking for something different, for anything. Next year, but probably not today. I know that this season, this Christmas, there's supposed to be joy, there's supposed to be love, there's supposed to be peace, there's supposed to be hope, and it seems like everyone around me has it, but sometimes it feels like the only hope that I have is that next year could be different. It has to be. But today, I just want to make it to tomorrow.
As we come here tonight on this Christmas Eve, and we think back on our 2019, for some of us, we have a lot of really fond memories and some moments that we can really lean back onto and really celebrate. For others, there may be some things that were a little bit more difficult, some challenges that we had to come into and deal with, and we're still dealing with today. You know, we come here on this night, here even tonight, and for some of us, tomorrow, we're headed off to go visit family, so we're packing up stuff, and we've got last things to do, and we got to get presents wrapped and get the car packed and get all ready to go, and so there's a little bit of chaos that surrounds that. For others of us, we're getting ready to have family over into our house, so we're busy cleaning and buying groceries and preparing food and getting ready for a day of presents and family and fun and movie and food and some more food, enjoying all of that together. For some of us, this is a time that brings loneliness, the challenges that come along with just that. And trying to figure out, how do I get through this? Others of us may be even dealing with the loss of a loved one this last year or maybe in previous years. And it makes this season hard. It makes it tough. For some, we're just trying to make it through another holiday season. Whatever the case is for us, the things that I think that are going on with us today aren't that far different than what happened over 2,000 years ago. Sometimes I think we have pictured in our mind's eye what it was like, that perfect first Christmas, how everything was just perfect. And at first glance, it may not seem like it, but I think as we dig a little bit deeper, as we look a little bit more into the story, we see that along the way, there was chaos, there was confusion, and there was darkness. Let's start with a young, nervous, and certainly confused young couple in Mary and Joseph. That first Christmas and the year leading up to that, Mary and Joseph found themselves in times of darkness, of challenge. This chapter in their lives was supposed to be so perfect. It was supposed to be a time of tremendous joy and anticipation, just like a young couple. The young couples that are anticipating marriage, you're supposed to be all excited about what is that going to be? What's it going to look like? Two God-fearing young people with their lives centered on God, and excited about their futures together. But then the unexpected happened. Joseph receives the news that his fiancée, whom he loved so very much, was pregnant. And the thing is, he knew that it was not his child. In a shame-based culture, simply the news of lost virginity, Joseph knew would be a stain that Mary would have to endure for a lifetime, but he refused to shame the one who was causing him so much pain. He was determined to protect Mary, who at the time he believed had somehow been unfaithful to him. Joseph was experiencing the darkness of disappointment in his life, and what must have been feelings of betrayal. Joseph, though, keeps loving this young woman while grieving the loss of the expected future that he had hoped to have with her. That lifetime that he had hoped to have of faithful companionship. He was in that moment of darkness and of disappointment. And then there's Mary. Mary becomes supernaturally and surprisingly pregnant apart from Joseph. Darkness and confusion surrounded her in this time with some significant questions. She just imagined all that small town gossip mill churning out ugly rumors about her that weren't true. People looking away and awkwardly averting their glances. And these people were supposed to be her closest friends. And then Mary, all by herself, trying to figure out how is she going to tell others? How is she going to explain this to others? And most of all, how is she going to explain this to Joseph? Knowing full well that there was no way that anyone was going to believe her. How dark and lonely those days must have been for this faithful teenage young woman. Mary was experiencing the darkness of loneliness. And then imagine this, the darkness that developed between Mary and Joseph as Mary tries to convince Joseph of the impossible, a virgin pregnancy. And then Joseph tries not to hurt Mary by just wanting it to go away and wanting to be a quiet divorce and get through it. How dark the loneliness and betrayal must have been between the both of them. And if that wasn't enough, just when Mary is in her third trimester, they receive the news, the unwanted news, that a census had been ordered by Caesar Augustus, that they would have to travel to the place of origin where the family lived to be able to take the census. So Joseph had to close down his carpentry business and lose how many weeks of wages, we don't know, but just all for the privilege of paying another foreign tax. So Joseph and the very pregnant Mary would have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a journey of about 70 miles. Now, ladies, I'm sure you can empathize a lot more than I can, but even I know that a trip on a donkey of 70 miles while 9 months pregnant must have been eventful and challenging, at least to say the least, you know. But Mary and Joseph, they had to be wondering, God, why are you allowing this to happen? We are just trying to be obedient to what you're doing in our lives. Well, add insult to injury. They got to Bethlehem. They arrived in Bethlehem, and they come in. They realize that due to all the people coming back for the census, that all the rooms were full. In those times, there weren't things such as Holiday Inn Express or Airbnb, so there were no future reservations and making sure, but they would usually go stay with relatives and then they came into town. But the houses there had two levels. They had a main level, upper level, where the family would sleep, and then down below is where all the animals would stay and they would sleep at night. But all the open rooms were taken. So with nowhere else to go and the impending birth of their baby boy, Mary and Joseph had to sleep with the animals on the lower level, not the ideal birthing suite. But as we think about this first Christmas, I think often we romanticize this nativity scene. We see it with this soft light just glowing over their shoulders, and the animals watching over them, they're quiet, warm, furry, sanitary, and odorless animals. But I think that's sometimes the way we picture it. And I think often we have that same type of picture about how Christmas should be for us today. But sometimes it's just not that way. Instead, there's a darkness that we may experience, and just like Mary and Joseph did over 2,000 years ago. But thankfully, the story did not stop there. Because out of the darkness came hope.
Out of the chaos came a glimpse of the peace that was to come. Out of the hurt came the restoration. Out of the desperation came an everlasting abundance. The hope that split the darkness cried out in a childlike innocence, calling out against the chaos, tragedy, confusion, and despair that soon it would be finished. Soon light would reign, hope would flood the hearts of all, and joy would be the miracle in the mundane. But that was then. What about now? What about today? What about me? Because today, It feels almost impossible to see this hope.
See, a lot of us are in that place of going, I just need hope for today. I need hope for today. I need hope right now. What does any of that have to do with me today? It seems so irrelevant. It seems so far away. Because every single year I hear the same exact thing, right? Jesus was born in a manger, in a stable, no room at the inn, the same thing. But just like John talked about, there's so much more to the story. It goes so much deeper. So we're going to take a closer look together first in Luke 1. Verse 34, and as we're turning there together, some context. Mary, who we're already familiar with, she's a virgin, she's engaged to Joseph, she's highly favored with God, which basically means that she is pursuing, she is living a life chasing after the heart of God, and because of this, she's about to have a baby, but there's a catch. She doesn't get to go through the process of making one, which is kind of a bummer of a situation, isn't it? Kids, ask your parents on the way home. Merry Christmas. So Mary has some pretty important questions at this moment to this angel, because this isn't the casual, like, hey, I just found $20 in my pocket doing the laundry kind of conversation. This is life changing. Her life is flipped on its head. So check out what Mary's response to this news was in verse 34. Check it out. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. See, Mary asked one question, but there's two important aspects to this question. First, she asks, how can this be? Translation, God, this is impossible. This is impossible. Life doesn't work this way. There's absolutely no way that what you said is actually going to happen. Why? Because I can't even imagine a world where that could happen. It is impossible, which I don't know about you, but I've prayed that prayer a few times in my life. Anybody else? But then the second part of the question is something that hits me really, really hard. She says, since I'm a virgin, translation, God, I can't do this. It's not just that it's impossible. I can't. I can't do this. This isn't who I am. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I haven't even thought of this yet. God, there's absolutely no way that I can do this, because I'm not sure if you know this or not, but that's not who I am. You've made a mistake. It's just not me. And I prayed that one a few times too. But I love the angel's response. Check it out in verse 35. It says this, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The angel looks at her and says, no, it is possible. And don't miss this. It's possible not because of you, but in spite of you. Because Mary, listen, the Holy Spirit sees the promises of God through. But it's not just Mary that we're looking at. Listen, you here today, you were created with purpose on purpose. And the one who created you with that purpose will see that purpose through each and every time. See, all Mary had to do was to show up, to be willing, say, I'm in, whatever it is, I'm in, to be humble, saying, it's not because of me, it's not on me, but it is through me. And trust that God's going to fulfill what it is that he promised. See, for Mary, out of the darkness of this season, God brought the light of purpose. He brought the hope of promise, the light of purpose and the hope of promise. But Mary's not alone in this story, right? What about Joseph? Good old Joe. Look at where he comes in over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. It says this, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, Joseph is engaged to this beautiful, young, amazing woman. They're planning their lives together. They're dreaming about the future. And somewhere in between their Casa Bonita date last week and their Chick-fil-A run this week, she got pregnant. And it ain't his. Joseph's freaking out a little bit. He's freaking out. He's in a bit of a crisis. So much so, in fact, that he's got his mind set on divorcing her. But before we get there, there's two really cool things said about Joseph in this section. First of which, it says that Joseph is faithful to the law. And the law that this is referring to is the commandments that God gave to the Israelites, God's chosen people of the Old Testament, that they were to follow to live a life chasing after God. This was what God said was a better way to live life. And then Joseph took him at his word and said, okay, I'm in. But there's something else really important. It says Joseph didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. Simply put, he didn't want to drag her name through the mud. See, this is a man of honor, and this is a man of good character. Simply put, based on the information that he had and what he knew to be true about God, himself, and those around him, he made plans to best honor God and honor others. He's got this mindset on what he believes with all of his being is the right thing to do. He's decided, but then God intervenes. Check it out. It says this, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Don't miss this. When the angel first addresses Joseph, there is no command. There is no command. There is no, hey, do this or else, or you are required to do this, or you should be doing this. That's not there. Instead, the angel starts where Joseph is at. He meets him where he's at. Don't be afraid to do this. See, the angel started with clarity over the command. He started with clarity over the command. But notice what the angel also didn't say. He didn't say that the situation would change. He didn't say that the situation would get easier. The social ramifications and all the other elements, they're all still there. But in the clarity, the angel brought Joseph hope enough for tomorrow. Pointing forward, saying, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. And that hope for tomorrow brought peace enough for his today. But what does that look like for us? Because that's all fine and good over there. What does that look like in my life right now? I love what one of my favorite authors in the world said when he wrote this. Check this out. He said, be patient when it gets weird. The angel explained things to Joseph after he talked to Mary, not before. Be patient when it gets weird. The angel explained things to Joseph after he talked to Mary, not before. And that patience when things get weird, when things get hard, it's everything. Why? I know in my own life, when I live out of a place of patience, knowing that God has got this, whether or not I know what's going on, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that it doesn't make it easier, but it makes it possible. It doesn't make it easier, but it makes it possible. When I live out of that place of patience, there's something else that my life begins to exemplify. And that thing is grace. And grace is undeserved, unsolicited, unrelenting, unhindered forgiveness and favor in light of what God has done and what he's going to continue to do. See, for Joseph, out of his darkness, God brought the light of grace and the promise and the hope for today. The hope for today. And when we walk in purpose and we walk in grace, then we get to live in the hope of the promise for today. And that hope for today, that promise was, is, and always will be Jesus. The Jesus who broke through the darkness as a crying, vulnerable baby. The Jesus who came to a broken world to make it whole again. The same Jesus who said later on in his ministry, he said, I have told you these things. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever said, I told it all to you. You witnessed it so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise from Jesus, but he's not done. He says, but take heart, have courage, stay strong, have hope. For I have overcome the world. And maybe this Christmas, you're in a place surrounded and defined by hope. You're already there. That's amazing. That's good. But go. Because you were called to be the light in the darkness. You were called to be a city on a hill. You were called to be a beacon pointed back to the source of life. But no matter where you are, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on around you, no matter what storm you're facing, this Christmas is different. This Christmas will be new. This Christmas, I will choose to believe in that hope again.
Yes, the storms will hit. Yes, the darkness will come. Yes, the hurt will happen. But I believe in something beyond. I believe in a hope that has and will continue to overcome. I believe in a hope victorious. I may not see it, but I know it's there. It pushes me. It drives me. It calls me up to a life beyond the mundane and into the miraculous. And today, more than ever, I know that my hope has come and is here to stay. Unwavering, unrelenting, even in doubt, even in the fear, even in hurt, I will keep going going forward, I will take another step. I will go knowing that there's another walking with me through every fire that I face. I know that some days it will be hard to believe, but I'll never stop wanting to believe. And I know that that is enough. I know that my God will meet me there. I've walked with him through enough yesterdays to trust him with my tomorrow. I will choose to believe that my God is good, even when my life is not. I will choose to believe that not one day, but today, there is hope. I will choose to believe in the hope in the dark, even when all of the other lights go out. I will focus on the one who this Christmas I am reminded of the hope that he brings. The one who said, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This Christmas, I will choose to believe again.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.